grace, faith, and works. We've been talking about grace, faith, and works. Grace is what God does. Faith is when we believe in what God does and what God says. And then the works follow when we do the works of God, when He shows us in His Word what He wants us to do. And so the fact is, and I've been saying this for quite a while, but you have to grasp this, that God has already prepared everything He's going to do. God doesn't keep changing His mind, and God doesn't keep coming up with new ideas. Everything we have that He wants us to have is in the Word of God. And so we can rely on the fact that God's going to stick to the plan. He's not going to change the plan that He has for you and I. And so by His grace, He provides the plan. By His grace, but through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, which is the foundation of everything and should be the foundation of everything in our life, the fact is God's already done His work. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't some things that are going to happen down the road, but the fact is God's done His part, and He's given us the Word of God, and now we're to do our part. Some people forget that our part thing. And so we want to remember, God's already moved. So all we have to believe, all we have to do is believe what He's done, believe in the Word of God, and then accomplish what He wants us to do on this earth. Because there will be rewards for the accomplishment that you've made in the plan of God, not in your plan, in the plan of God on this earth. There will be rewards. Amen. Now, God said that those rewards go to people called overcomers. And that's the people that as much as possible complete the plan that God has for them on this earth. Because He has a plan for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're not in the plan now. I'm just saying completing that plan is what we're here for. To demonstrate Christ here on the earth and to complete the plan that He has for us. Now, it's important, as we know, to confess the Word of God. It's important to, particularly, if you have a health problem, you ought to be on read every healing scripture you can find every day. And you need to read it out loud. You need to keep confessing the healing scriptures of God. That's part of the things we do. So confession of the Word of God is important. If there's something else you need in your life, if you are depressed, you need to confess the scriptures on joy, particularly the last five psalms and other psalms and Word of God. You need to say those. You need to put them on your refrigerator. You need to put them on the mirror. You need to put them and read those out loud every morning and every night. And get the that Word of God that you need in you. And when you do that, then God can release His power to give you the joy, to give you the healing, to give you these other things. And obviously God uses doctors and nurses and all that. I just experienced that. But the issue is that if we want to stay strong and do what God wants to do and finish the work, we need to confess the things of God. Now, our confessing doesn't make God love us anymore. He already loves you as much as He could possibly love anybody. What we do does not change the fact that God loves us. Whether it's right, wrong, or whatever, He still loves us. But what it does, it releases the work of God in your life. So we need to confess. We need to confess our sin. We need to, when we make a mistake, we need to confess that and leave that in the past and move on in the good things of God. And so the Lord's already done it. So when we confess the Word of God, it strengthens our heart. I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the spiritual heart within us. And it does two things. Confessing the Word of God does two things. It strengthens and informs your heart concerning the Word of God, which is all powerful according to the Word of God. It also drives off the things of the enemy, the devil, and his workers, who are working freely right at this point on this earth. They can't do anything they want to. The way that drives off the enemy is if you're filling your mouth, you're hearing it with your ear, and you're filling your heart with the Word of God, and there will be no doors open for the enemy. Are you listening to me? It's the way we close the doors. We do it by confessing the Word of God. That's why we say the Word of God out loud here as much as possible. Another complaint somebody had one time is we use too much of the Word of God. I'll take that because the Word of God, it's what strengthens us in the Lord. Your ears hear the Word. The Word goes into your heart. That's what the Word of God says. It's not what you see with your eyes, it's what you hear with your ears. And you hear the Word of God, it goes into your being and begins to make changes in your life. It releases what God has done in your spirit, and then you become stronger, you grow. I was driving to church this morning, and if you're looking out in the fields, and those corn, that corn's about that high out there in the fields. And the idea was the seed was planted, God watered it, and it's beginning to grow. The seed is the Word of God. That's what it is. You have to have that seed in you. You have to, you can memorize it, but you need to speak the Word out loud, and the Word will go in you. It'll come up just like that corn's coming up, and it's going to produce something, and it's going to be something good. Now, so the confession doesn't make God do anything. He's already done it. We need to receive it and start moving in it. Start walking in it. That's the way this thing works. People are out there striving, trying to get God to do something, and he's already done it. You know, it's kind of ridiculous. It'd be like somebody give you a paycheck, and you take the paycheck and you set it somewhere in your house, or you tape it to the wall and say, isn't that beautiful? And it isn't doing anything it's supposed to do. Are you listening? Right. You got to cash it in.
That's right.
You've got to cash it in for it to do anything. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. He's given it to us. Now we have to take it and we have to use it. Now, you may have to confess something 100 times before you get it in your heart.
That's right.
But if that's what it takes, do it. Take a certain scripture and every morning and every night go over that scripture, and that thing's going to become a part of you. And that's what you want, because that's the seed. That's the seed of God. You have to keep taking in the seed if anything's going to grow. And that's what some people don't understand. Well, I got saved back there, so-and-so. Are you going to church? No. Are you reading your Bible? No. Well, you're not going to receive the things of God. It's just that simple. You see, and so we need to, you know, God isn't the one that has to move. We just start need to doing what God says.
That's right.
You know, be obedient to the Word of God. Now, confession will move your faith. It's going to chase the devil out of your life, and it's going to change your actions. Mm-hmm. Because pretty soon, you're going to start lining up with what you're saying. Your words guide your life. We were just talking about this morning when we were praying here. And the words that come out of your mouth is what guides your life. It's the rudder of your life. It is the thing that's going to determine. So what's coming out of your mouth? You see, that's the issue. What comes out of your mouth doesn't move God, but it's going to move you. You see what I'm saying? If it's so important as to what you say is going to become in your life. Now, we need to read, we need to study, we need to meditate on the Word of God. That doesn't make God love you more. It's going to make you love Him more. Are you listening? That's why we do this, because God has loved you with a perfect love right now. I just wish people could grasp that. They are totally loved by God now. But the issue is, he wants some of that back. He wants us to start loving Him. It'll change your life. It's very important. Now, you're going to love God more if you're speaking the Word of God, reading the Word of God, taking in the Word of God. And that's the issue. It's going to draw His love out of you, and you're going to be able to give it to somebody else, you see. Now, we know God loves us. How do we know God loves us? That cross right there tells you that God loves you. How can He love you any more than that? Than to give His own only beloved Son, shed His blood for you personally. For you personally. And so we know God loves us. There shouldn't be any question about that part of it. There's was an interesting guy who was a football player. His name was Earl Campbell. I don't know if anybody ever heard of him. He was a great football player a few years ago. And he grew up in a Christian home down in Texas. And he was in church when he was in high school, and he became a football star. Finally, he went to the University of Texas, and it was away from home, so he had to stay in the dorm there. And Christmas was coming up, and he called home, and he said, Mom, he said, can I bring some of my friends home for Christmas? The only thing she said to him was this, Earl, are you loving Jesus? She says, Earl, are you loving Jesus? And he kind of hesitated, and he said, well, he said, I have to be honest, I'm not. He said, stay where you are. She said, I only want people in my home that love Jesus. So he had to stay over Christmas in the dorm with about five other guys. It was the most boring Christmas he ever had in his entire life. He was miserable. So a few days and months go by, and it's Easter. So he calls up his mother. And he said, Mother, can I come home for Easter and bring some of my friends? And she said, Earl, are you loving Jesus? He said, yes, I am, Mother. I'm loving Jesus. And she said, come on and bring whoever you want to. Smart mother. You see, he became a famous football player, made all kinds of money. But I'm going to tell you this, he never forgot to love Jesus. Now, that's what we're talking about. I don't care what you're doing. You can be doing great things. You can be doing wonderful things. You can be a very smart person. But the issue, are you loving Jesus? That's the issue of life. There isn't any other. That's it. Are you loving Jesus? And my mother's with the Lord. But if she can hear me, I'm loving Jesus, Mom. That's a fact. And you do that by studying the Word of God, taking in the Word of God, and so forth. Now, I'm going to tell you, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, meditating on the Word doesn't make God love you more.
That's right.
Just makes you love Him more.
That's right.
That's what it does. God has got all the love out there He has. Mm-hmm. And He wants us to start using it and receiving it and loving Him back and loving other people. That's what it's all about. Holy living. A lot of people get on this thing. Boy, you can't drink, you can't chew. You can't go with the girls that do. That's what they used to say. Way back there someplace. that was way back there. but anyway, you know, God wants us to live holy. But living holy isn't going to make God love you more.
That's right.
I don't know where we get these ideas. We get these strange ideas. That's a man thing. Where you say, well, you know, if I just do this, God will love me more. God loves you the perfect love right now. Holy living is important. It's going to allow that love of God that's in you to flow out of you. And you're going to have a witness and you're going to have a testimony. And it is an important thing to live holy and to live right and to do all of that. You know, we can do all this stuff. We can fellowship with each other. We can go to church every time the doors open. We can witness. We can give. We can do all those things. And that's not going to make God love you more.
That's right.
It's just going to allow you to love him with a full love inside of you. And that's what we are to do. You see, people strive. They say, oh, yeah, I went to church Saturday night. I got it in there. Got it in for the week. Well, big deal.
That's
the way people look at it. Oh, yeah, I went to church last Sunday. I can probably slip over this one, you know. Well, they got the wrong idea. Totally. You don't do that to get God to approve of you or check you off. Well, Joe went to church this Sunday. Got an angel up there assigned to Joe. Check him off. You think that's going on up there? I don't think so. What's going on up there is, What's Joe doing now? Is he loving Jesus?
Amen.
That's the issue.
Tell it,
and whatever we do, whoever we're with, whatever's going on, are we loving Jesus? You can't force God to do anything. I don't know where we get this idea, but we can get in on what God's doing. God's the one that says, I want to heal you in the name, you know. He's the one. Jesus is the one that came and taught the word and healed people and produced miracles and delivered people from the enemy and did all of those things. He was just showing us what God's like.
That's right.
You see. And then what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be like God on this earth.
That's right.
We're not God. We're supposed to be like God. And you only be that way if you start doing these basic things. Take them in. Speak the word of God. Being faithful is important. The more obedient you are, the more God's going to pour in you. I say the more obedient you are, God's going to pour more into you. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, you give somebody a job and they only show up every other day. That's not going to go over real well, you know. They're not going to learn. They're not going to do the job. How can they do the job? And the one we ought to be showing up for is God. You see, and we just kind of play with it, you see, and then we wonder. I said this last time, just shook somebody up. I'll shake up somebody else today. You know that it's not going to be the same for everybody in heaven. I don't know where we ever got that idea. It doesn't teach that in the Word of God. Somebody just thinks, well, I get saved, I'm going to heaven, it's going to be wonderful. Well, the first question is going to be, did you love me? The second question is going to be, did you do what I asked you to do?
That's right.
That's not complicated. It's real simple. And if the answer is no, no, guess what's going to happen? You're going to spend a whole lot of time in eternity being retrained by God. Are you listening to me? You're going to have to go to school. Because you missed it here, you're going to have to pick it up there. But for those overcomers, those that have been loving Jesus and being obedient to the Lord, he's going to be, oh, I'm going to put you over 10 cities, hallelujah. I'm going to put you over 5 cities. I'm going to give you this responsibility. I mean, you're going to be involved and you're going to be moving. It's going to be wonderful. You know, it's just going to be a great thing. So we have to keep that in mind. There is a reason for being here and breathing and standing upright. I mean, we're not here just to pass the time away. We're not here just to fritter the time away, if you want to put it that way. That's not the way it is. Now, what we want is the full manifestation of what God wants to do in our lives here. That's the issue. Now, it doesn't mean we don't go to work on a daily basis. It doesn't mean we do the natural things we have to do. But the issue, we got one eye on Jesus all the time. Lord, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do there? What do you want me to do here? And, you need to talk to people. We need to get involved with people. Some of these, the whole thing about Jesus was he was with people. He didn't go hide someplace unless he wanted to pray. And he'd go up on a mountain and pray all night. But he was around people all the time. The whole thing was people. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in people. That's what he's interested in. That's what we should be interested in. He's not interested in somebody just going off somewhere out in the middle of nowhere and reading their Bible. There's a place for that sometimes, but the issue is we're to be around people where we can make a difference in somebody's life. Now, it's not works alone, it's not grace alone, it's not faith alone, it's all those together. It's the teamwork of what God has done and us coming to Him and receiving from Him and then us doing what He wants us to do. It's just that simple. That is the Christian life. Now, if we just think, well, it's just works alone, then we're going to come up with our own ideas what that work ought to be. You know, a lot of people make up their own Ten Commandments. And then they think everybody else ought to follow their commandments, and if they don't do it, they get mad. Are you listening to me? People do that. And I'm going to tell you, you know, one of the neatest things that God did, He made everybody different. There's not two people alike on this entire planet. There will never be two people alike ever in the history of the world. They're every one of them unique. You say, how's that possible? Well, I'll tell you how it's possible. If God could name a trillion stars, he could certainly make individual people and each one of them different. Every star is different. There are no two stars alike. Every single, and there's billions of them in the universe and in the galaxies and all this stuff. And moons and suns and planets, they're all different. If you study science, you find out there's not any two planets alike. No such thing. And God made people different, and He made them to respond to Him. It'd be boring to have a family and everybody was the same. My goodness, wouldn't that be awful? Well, God is raising up a family, and they're different. But the basic things of God are not different, but the people are different. And so we don't want to make up our own work. You're going to get stuck in the flesh. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get legalistic. You're going to be a mess. There's some people that are workaholics, just work all the time. And one of the reasons is that's where they hide. Ooh. Oh. Oh. Did I say that? That's where they hide.
That's right.
Their work is their life. Mm-hmm. How's that going to go over when we stand before the throne? If it's grace alone, you just say, well, God does everything. I don't have to do anything. And all I just have to do is show up every once in a while and punch the card, and then everything's okay. That's believing God does everything. You don't have to do anything. And you just go your merry way. There's some people who believe that. You see. And then, of course, some people believe, well, if I just believe it and if I know the information, that's all I need. And they fill up notebooks and wear Bibles out, and that just all information, and never do anything God wants them to do. It's team. It's the grace of God. He's done the work. It's faith. You believe it. You believe it for yourself. And then there's works. You do the works. Martin Luther, you know, he had parts of his Bible he wanted to tear out. Anybody have parts of their Bible they'd like to tear out? Be honest. There probably are some. Well, Martin Luther said, faith without works is... James said, faith without works is dead. Martin Luther said, I'm going to tear that out of my Bible. I don't believe it belongs in there, because he believed in the grace of God. Well, you can overdo that. And there are denominations that do that. It's all the grace of God. You don't do anything. You just show up at church and you live your life any way you want to, and it's okay. Well, that is not the way it is in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. I'll move along here.
What's
Anybody want to volunteer for that card punching deal this morning? We'll put them out. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just trying to inform you as to what God says. Okay, here it is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. Now there it is. I want to show you here that the whole thing's together here. But by the grace of God, that's what everything God has done. God called Paul, God saved Paul, God gave him a ministry. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Okay. And His grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now that part means I believed what God said. That's what He means there. God didn't bestow this stuff on me in vain. I believed it and I received it. Believe always means receive also. I received it, and it was not in vain, because I labored our work more abundantly than they all. Did he do it to impress God? No. He did it to be an overcomer. He did it to get the reward in heaven he was supposed to get. He worked more than all the other apostles, he said. He worked harder than anybody. If you read his life, you find out all the stuff he went through. He got thrown in jail. He got beat up. I think he was stoned to death one time. God raised him from the dead. He went through all kinds of stuff. He said, I labored more than all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, God was in me, working through me. Are you listening? And that's the issue. God was in me, working through me. That's why being holy is good, because God can work through holiness. He can't work through sin. He works through holiness. And that's the issue for being holy. But the issue is it all comes together. The grace of God, your faith, and then the works. It all should be there. Grace, faith, works. That's it. Paul cooperated with God's grace, and he believed it. And then he didn't labor in order to get from God. He labored because he already had gotten it from God. That's the issue. And it's the same way with you. When you get saved, God puts the seed in your spirit. You have everything you need to do what God's called you the rest of your life. Whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, whatever it is. Doesn't make any difference. He's already got it in there. Just start watering it and let it come out, you see. God didn't plan the same for every single one of you. He planned different things. But you have to cooperate with God to get it out. People go running to all kinds of conferences and all kinds of things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they keep going because they want to get filled up. They already filled up with God. Are you listening? Somebody goes to a conference and says, I just want more of God. I want more of God. You got all of God you're going to get. Just start cooperating with Him. Start doing the works of God. That you can go to conference and enjoy Him, because you don't have to go to get your card punched. You go there because it's already been punched. You got it? That's the way this thing works, you see. That's the way this works. You get that? Well, anyway, Paul cooperated. And so here's a prayer. You can pray that. I pray that God gives you understanding and wisdom as you begin to harmonize this revelation of grace, faith, and works, and apply it to your daily life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, give me understanding and wisdom, and begin harmonize this revelation of grace and faith and works, so I can apply it to my daily life. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is simply responding in a positive way to what God's already done. Let me say it again. Faith is simply responding in a positive way to what God has already done. This book is a book of what God has done. Now, there's some things in here he's going to do yet. He's going to do it in the future. But this book is basically showing us what Jesus Christ has done and how much he loves us. That's what this Bible's all about. And then there's a part of the Bible that talks about you doing the works of God. And not everybody's the same, like I say. Now, we're not in a contest here. We're here just to do what God's called us to. Faith is the bridge that brings the spiritual world into the natural. You have to have a bridge from God to your natural life. Are you listening to me? How do you get the supernatural of God into your natural life? Faith. You believe it. You speak it. You receive it, obviously. You speak it. And then you do it. And it's complete. And God just starts working. And God just starts working. You see, if you stop any one of those, you stop the flow. You stop the flow. You're stuck. And you say, well, this Christian life just doesn't seem to work. No, you're not working it. You see. Paul said, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Isn't that what he said?
Right.
Yes, he did. Work that thing out in fear and trembling. Now, well, I better stop right there. I'll finish this next time. Thought I was going to finish it this time. But we got the Lord's Supper, so we'll go ahead. Now, tonight we'll be here.